Hello, Vet Blast podcast listeners. We have big news. Fetch Coastal is moving from Atlantic City, New Jersey to National Harbor, Maryland in 2025. That's right. This is our last year having our Fetch Coastal conference in Atlantic City, and it's right around the corner. Join us October 14th to the 16th to kick off your week with networking opportunities, lectures from key industry leaders, and three unique hands-on labs. Don't miss out the last chance to earn CE with Fetch in Atlantic City.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. I got the one and only Dr. Ashley Randall in the house. How are you, my friend?
I am doing amazing, Doc. How are you?
Good. And, you know, I'm so excited that you're on the podcast. And by the way, congratulations on being part of our editorial advisory board for the 2024-2025 year. That's awesome.
Yes, I'm happy to help. Absolutely. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, all good stuff. And, you know, to the listeners tuning in, we're going to chat about practice ownership, but from Dr. Ashley's perspective. I mean, we talk a lot every now and then about it here and there, but you have a very unique perspective that I really want the listeners to hear about. And a little bit of information about our friend Ashley. She is dynamic and accomplished veterinarian with a proven track record of excellence in veterinary medicine, practice management, and as you'll all soon find out, entrepreneurship. And she's been leveraging over a decade of experience and bounds and managed thriving veterinary practices, treated many wonderful pets. She is a founder of Muse Veterinary Group, which we're going to chat a little bit about how she got to where she's at. And where'd you go to vet school?
I went to the illustrious Tuskegee University School of Veterinary Medicine. Yes.
Hey, go. What's the mascot?
The Golden Tigers.
Golden Tigers. That's yes. It.
Yes.
So awesome. Okay. So let's chat a little bit about your career path. So it's been, the profession's been wonderful for you. You've obviously, we've all had some bumps along the way, but you know, we're going to chat about shifting the paradigm a little bit as well from where you at with working to practice ownership. So tell the listeners a little bit about where you were and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, my path started out very, very similar to most veterinarians. I went to vet school. I had a great time. I studied hard, got my DVM, and then I became an associate veterinarian with a pretty large company here in the metro Atlanta area. That was really good because it afforded me the luxury of having six other seasoned doctors pretty much there with me all the time. And so I was able to not only learn the medicine and apply the medicine that I had learned in school, but I was able to learn all of these like tricks of the trade and all of these gems from these different doctors that had various different trainings. So I did that for a long time. And honestly, Dr. Adam, I really thought that that was going to be the place that I retired from. I did not decide that I wanted to be a practice owner until, you know, my life changed. When I had my daughter, you know, I started thinking about what is my long-term plan here? You know, at the time I was working about 50 hours a week, which is pretty standard in our field. I was working about 35 to 40 minutes from home, which was also pretty standard. And it was really affecting my quality of life. So long story short, I decided at that moment, you know, I had two revelations. One was that, you know, I did not want to be, I wanted to be ultimately happy, which meant honestly ending my marriage, which is something to discuss for a different podcast. Two, I decided, you know, was that I wanted to be ultimately happy and I wanted to make my own schedule and have the freedom to, you know, when my daughter got older, go and attend all of her things and not be so tied up in work that, you know, I didn't have time to do that. So for me, it was a decision that came over time. And once I decided that, you know, I never looked back. I started West End Animal Wellness Center, which is a practice here in the metro Atlanta area. And, you know, that started my entrepreneurial journey. And here we are.
No, I love that. Thank you for sharing that too, because we all have different journeys in this profession. And so the big question is why? Why practice ownership? And I know this is a question I'm sure you get asked with a lot of mentees about, should I do it, should I not? And walk me through some of the questions that go through your mind when you decided to take that leap.
Well, yeah, I think the question that you just asked is actually the most important question. You know, why do you really want to do this? Because it's not just like the easiest thing to do. Practice ownership takes a lot of mental fortitude. It takes some financial leveraging, and it takes a lot of grit, and you have to be flexible and creative to really be a good practice owner, to be a well-rounded practice owner. For me, that answer lies in purpose. I felt like my purpose was to marry these amazing skills that I had a passion for with animals, with my communication skills, and really challenge myself to bring veterinary equity to a part of Atlanta that was basically a veterinary desert. So for me, that question, the answer to that question for individuals truly lies within what their overall purpose is in life. And I think that, you know, the more you ask yourself kind of what you want in life overall, kind of from a broad spectrum, you will kind of figure out whether or not practice ownership is for you or not.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of headaches that come into play, of course, right? Where
Absolutely.
trying
Yeah.
to put their head on the pillow at night and realizing maybe the faucet's leaking or the lights are
Right.
out.
Right. It's not a straightforward pathway. And so that was one of the things when I opened up West End almost 10 years ago. It was 2015, which is crazy to say. But when I opened, you know, I was just this, you know, I had been out of school maybe 6 or 7 years. I thought I was ready. I thought I had the medical knowledge. I thought I had the client knowledge, the client staying power. I had all those things. But what I lacked was the financial knowledge, you know, how to run a practice, how to consistently make sure that payroll and the needs of the practice are met. And so those are the things that really challenged me as a practice owner. And I'm thankful to say that I was able to have really strong mentorship, and really good guides in my life that helped me through some really, really difficult times, in those first few years.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine. It's tough. And a lot of things with practice ownership come along with risk, like taking that risk. And maybe there's always that scaredness of like not knowing the unknown. And
Yeah.
there's a quote that I know you really support, and it's scared money don't make no money,
That's
right?
right.
So tell us about that.
I mean, it's an old saying. I definitely didn't, you know, reinvent the wheel, but it's so true. If you are not a risk taker, and by that, I don't mean like jumping off of the Empire State Building. I mean, like, if you are not a calculated risk taker, if you are not ready, mentally to take on the challenges of knowing what you don't know, then practice ownership may or may not be a beneficial or enjoyable path for you. There are so many small things that come up. Like you said, sometimes it's a facility issue. For me, I didn't just own the practice, I own the building as well. And in that first year and a half, there was a huge flood while I was on my first vacation. So
Oh.
it's stuff like that. That really, you have to be able to be a leader in times like that. You cannot shy away from the difficult conversations, the difficult decisions that you have to make within practice ownership. Because if you don't, if you're not a decisive person, if you're not a risk taker, then it truly does limit how far you can go as an entrepreneur. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I love that you were just talking before about desert hospitals. And to the listeners, that's like it's a big problem in our profession. So and it's a good problem in terms of practice ownership, because there are so many areas in this country where you can go to set up shop, which is awesome,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely. For me, you know, 10 years ago, when I was looking around, I'm from the Atlanta area. I knew I wanted to keep it in an area that I was familiar with. But when I started looking around, there were several different areas actually that, you know, did not maybe didn't have a veterinary practice for, you know, 3 to 5 miles. That's significantly reducing the metro area at this point. But for somebody who is young and who is just starting in their career and maybe not completely attached to one city or another, there are so many different opportunities to, especially now that people are really, really in tune with their pets and they're taking care of their pets, there are so many different opportunities around the country for practice ownership. And so it's wide open. You know, people sometimes are a little bit intimidated by the big corporations. But from a client perspective, I've found that a lot of my clients shy away from, you know, those, they actually are willing to and want to support local businesses. So again, mental tenacity, some fortitude, some creativity, but it's definitely a space that's still pretty wide open.
Yeah, very wide open. And the last question that you chat about is, does practice ownership align with your overall goals in life? So tell me more about that.
So I am huge on like work-life balance, professional balance versus personal balance. That's like my bread and butter. And I've learned in 15 years of practice that if one side is going really, really well and the other side is really, really crappy, that there's not really a good balance in your life and you are not being the highest level of person, the highest level of human being that you can be. And so in that time, I have learned that the more I can manage the more I can set boundaries, set goals, and kind of manage my life, personal and professional, the better. And so when I kind of start preaching about like knowing what aligns with your overall goals, it's so important for people to ask themselves very difficult questions, open-ended questions. So maybe not necessarily asking, is this the right job for me? Maybe asking, what is it that I want in 1, 5, 10 years in my life? What do I want? I wanted freedom. I wanted to physically be able to attend anything my daughter has and not have to worry about taking off of work or how that would affect my pay, you know, by not doing a shift. That was kind of where it started. And so it's important to make sure that you are in tune with yourself and actually asking yourself, you know, what do I want overall? What do I want in my profession? What do I want to see in my personal life? And then work from that point. And sometimes practice ownership is the answer, but sometimes it's not, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there really isn't. And we have colleagues in our industry that have gone into practice ownership and they realized it was not for them. And they pivoted and did some other things. But yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the things that I love, many things about you, of course, Doc, but there's one thing to the listeners that we really share a lot is we chatted when we had a phone call, we chatted a lot about a legacy and how important that is to both you and I about leaving a legacy behind, finding practices that create legacies. So tell the listeners more about that and how that led you to opening up Muse Veterinary Group.
Yeah, well, you know, so I was bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, obviously, 10 years ago. So I can't look back now. So, you know, for me, I started thinking about what kind of legacy I want to leave. How do I want to be remembered in this veterinary community? And one of the things that I want to do is to make sure that people, clients, the community at large knows who these veterinarians are. So often in our industry, it can be, you know, thankless as a practitioner. You know, you see people's pets, but sometimes we are not necessarily given our flowers and we're not given the respect and the accolades that we should be. And so for me, it became extremely important to make sure that if I'm going to go into practice acquisitions and practice ownership again, I want to make sure if I'm purchasing an existing veterinary practice, that particular owner is recognized and memorialized. And so that other people know who they are as they come through those doors. And for me, it's even more important, especially as an African-American woman, that, you know, that people of color are recognized within this industry, because this industry, you know, the percentages as far as when you look at ethnicity in this industry are pretty, pretty one-sided. And so I think it's important to share those stories and tell those stories and make sure that the community understands and knows, you know, who we are and what we represent as a whole.
Yeah. I love when we were talking about these hospitals, is that you're finding practices that are, you know, indicative of the community. You know, they have a story to tell and you want that to continue to keep happening, because as we all know in this industry, like the veterinary community or the clients like to come to those practices because of the story or the legacy that's left behind, or so that's important to you as well, right?
Yes, that is so important to continue that client connectivity. For me, community is everything. And that's one of the pillars that Muse Veterinary Group is built on. Community, making sure I've always been a community advocate. I've always been that veterinarian who, not only just sees the patient, but I'm actually asking the owner questions and having conversations with the owner about their personal lives, their kids. I'm just that type of person. And I recognize how connectivity as human beings is such a core part of having that balance in life. And so I can't, start a business without considering what the community is going to think about the practice itself. And a lot of these practices, one of the things that I've heard with, with the overwhelming corporate buyup that's taken place in our industry is that they've lost that touch, that bedside manner, that gentle manner. People feel like, I mean, there was just, an article in Time Magazine. People feel like, there is not that personal touch. And one of the things that I have found easiest when explaining, a high cost procedure, for instance, is that, if they trust you, if the people trust that you not only know what you're doing, but that you have their best interest at heart, it's so much easier to have that communication about why things cost what they cost. And so I feel like that's part of the issue in our industry is that we've become disconnected. It's become client versus veterinarian, and that's not a sustainable space. And so my company will help to bring back that community feel that, the industry's been missing.
I love this. I love this, Doc.
Can't make it to Coastal? No worries. We've got you covered with select Fetch Kansas City 2024 sessions now on Flex. For just $199, Fetch On Demand gives you access to the best sessions, speakers, and over 30 CE credits. That's right, 30 CE credits. Learn when, where, and how it fits into your busy life. Whether you are catching up between appointments, learning from the comfort of home, or squeezing in a quick session over coffee, Fetch On Demand gives you the flexibility you need to earn CE credits on your terms. Click the link in the show notes and learn more today.
As we wrap up, I speak a lot about this around the country in lectures about how important representation matters. And what does that mean to you in your area too? I mean, you're so successful to be a woman of color in entrepreneurship. What does that mean to you and to everyone else that's tuning in?
Oh man, it means a lot to me. It's one of the things that is one of the life works that I'm really proud of. I did a lot to get here, a lot of personal work, a lot of obviously professional work as well. And I'm definitely proud of the space that I'm helping to create and navigate. And I'm most hopeful that even when I retire for good, even when I'm done and I, I've moved on, that there has been a space created that is respectful and of those who came before, and that we are creating more alliances, than us versus them type of behavior. I think that, again, the more connected we can be as a culture, the better we can not only make the veterinary space, but really the world in general. Yeah. So that's what I'd like.
Well, I'm so proud of all the endeavors and accomplishments that you've had. And if you can give one piece of advice to somebody that's interested in owning a practice, a very simple soundbite, what would it be?
Oh, one simple piece of advice. Gosh, that's so hard to put it in one little sentence. But if I had to give one piece of advice, it would be to know yourself really, really well. Because if you don't know yourself, then you will find yourself being swayed by the opinions of others. And you will find yourself in a space where you are people pleasing. And that is not a space where your energy can continue to be, recreated and re-energized. It's a space where you will eventually run out of gas. So know yourself very well.
Right. Absolutely. And life is too short, and you go for the opportunity, and you just, I always say go for it, just because of the fact that there's such versatility within our degree. Like we just early mentioned that some practice owners went back to practice or pivoted, but there's so many great options that are out there. And I never wanted to live a life of shoulda, woulda, couldas. I was like, been there, done that. Yes, kind of a life,
Yeah, absolutely. Same.
Yeah. So Dr. Randall, where can we learn more about you as well as Muse Veterinary Group?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you guys can learn more about Muse Veterinary Group at www.musevet.com. I've also got an Instagram, which is MuseVet2024. You can also get on Facebook or LinkedIn, look up Muse Veterinary Group, and you will find more information about what I'm doing, what the purpose of our mission is, as well as updates on our flagship location, which is set to open in the fall of 2024. So I hope that you guys, I really hope that you guys learned something. That's the big thing from Muse Veterinary Group. I hope that I'm able to tell the stories of veterinarians who came before, and I hope that it inspires somebody in a future generation to take up arms and do exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, well, you're doing it. You're doing it and doing it.
trying to do it well.
Right, doing it well. And also, listeners, you can check out Dr. Randall. She's going to be joining us as a Fetch faculty speaker. So yes. You can check her sessions out in person, and she'll be in the print publication of the DVM360 magazine. So you can more than happy to reach out to her. She's a great subject matter expert in all things. And listen, our profession's small, but we always take that time to reach out and make new friends. And you're definitely going to want to make a friend with Dr. Randall. She's wonderful. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam. This has been a pleasure, and I would love to do this anytime. We can get together and chat anytime.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you in person, because it's going to be a party. It's going to be
a party. Yes, absolutely. It's going to be
a party. Thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate this podcast as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.